Hi, birds. Morning.
Friday. It's a big human holiday. Weekly. Got a big one tomorrow. 4th of July. I know that one again. Well, it's every year. Well, we've got a kind of weird one this year. We'd figure out how to make it work. I'm going to play some music here. Do some American music today. This one actually, and I see right at the beginning here, this one's called Fanfare for the Common Man. And I think if Aaron Copland were alive today, I'm pretty sure he would have changed it. You know, fanfare for the common man and woman. But fanfare for the common bird. I like that one. That is called Fanfare for the Common Man. Common women, common everyone, common human beings. Fanfare for the Common Bird. Aaron Copland, an American composer. As we finally get into Friday here. I know we thought it would never come. It's 5 after the hour. It's Friday. It's the 3rd of July. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago. And, well, we've got some stuff to do today. A few things to chew up in the news. Try to protect each other from bad things this weekend and perhaps each other. We'll see. Let's think that before the end of the hour here, we're going to have a little more about Hamilton, which drops today, Disney Channel. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that. We're going to play a little bit of that one. And I will do my best to explain the Declaration of Independence to birds. All right, that's coming up here. So, at the moment, though, as the United States heads into the 4th of July weekend, officials telling people to hold the partying till next year. The coronavirus has exploded in large parts of the nation. Yesterday, the U.S. set a single-day case record for the sixth time in 9 days. More than 50,000 new cases reported for the first time. It's according to the database from the New York Times. That figure topped 55,000 by the end of the day. Yesterday's new case total represented an increase of more than 85% since 2 weeks ago, when states were reopening after extensive lockdowns tempered the outbreak, particularly in the hard-hit Northeast. Until last week, the country had not surpassed a record daily total for 2 months, since 36,000 new cases were reported on April 24th. You're getting this? I know you are. We had it kind of under control and then kind of jumped the gun. Yesterday, in a reversal, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, one of the worst-hit states in the past week, ordered residents in counties with more than 20 virus cases to wear masks in public. Mr. Abbott, a Republican, had previously opposed attempts by Democratic mayors and other local officials to require everyone in their cities to wear masks in public. But as the number of cases increased in recent weeks, he cleared the way for local authorities to require masks in business before imposing the more aggressive statewide requirement. What we're saying there is the Democrats down in Texas were saying, you know what, maybe we should wear masks. And the Republican governor, until yesterday, was making it a political football. I have an editorial comment from my niece, Christy. Hi, Christy, who lives in Texas. She says, I've never been so embarrassed to be from the great state of Texas until today. We need to get rid of this loser and get some leaders with intelligence. That from Texas. Interesting irony as we commemorate the leaving of the colonies from the Brits so many years ago. Boris Johnson, the current Prime Minister of Great Britain, who had said earlier this week that it was Britain's patriotic duty to go to the pub when they reopen, that's tomorrow they're planning it, now has urged people not to overdo it. His warning came after tens of thousands have flocked to beaches, organized illegal music parties, basically violated social distancing rules in recent weeks all across that country. Britain has reported the world's third highest pandemic death toll, triple-digit death counts still in coming in most days. I've got to knit this together. As you know, we try to call over there and get the scoop on some of this stuff. Johnson had the virus. He had the virus. He went into the hospital. He left work. Then he came back. So I don't know how that, he's feeling better. He's feeling better. Yes, he is. He said yesterday, let's not blow it now, folks. This was after the country's long hibernation was over and the virus was under control. Go to the pubs. That's, you know, I hadn't thought of that. Let's just get drunk. Let's just get a little drunk. Boris Johnson. So on Wednesday, the Treasury tweeted that people should grab a drink and raise a glass. So, wow. All right, back here in the United States, at 10 after the hour, at least 8 states reported single-day case records. Alaska, Arkansas, California, Florida, Georgia, Montana, South Carolina, and Tennessee, a dozen states, mostly in the Northeast, have managed to keep the new case levels flat or declining. Now in Florida, Mayor Carlos Jimenez of Miami-Dade County imposed a countywide curfew from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. starting Friday. They had already announced that they were going to close beaches for the 4th of July weekend down there. And governor says, of course, this is one of the various actions that I'm pursuing to tamp down the spike of COVID-19 and protect our residents. I'll tell you one thing. I woke up this morning and the map that is a daily graphic. If you look at the map, and I'm not urging that you get up and do it, the southeastern United States is red. They have just had everything happen on there. So we think a good thought for them, and we hope that everybody doesn't make things worse. Speaking of which, wait a minute, Vice President Mike Pence changed a planned trip this week to Arizona, get this, after Secret Service agents set to travel with him tested positive for the coronavirus or showed symptoms. That's according to two administration officials. Mr. Pence had been scheduled to visit Arizona on Tuesday, but multiple factors related to the spread of the virus foiled those plans, according to somebody. I'm going to read between the lines. I'm going to guess it had to be something serious, but on the level of the Secret Service not being able to protect him or being ill themselves. That is that. But he is, let's see here. Here we go. Vice President canceled his plan. This is a campaign rally called Faith in America. There you go. I can't escape the irony. We're going to talk about Hamilton, the play that everybody has been talking about. Hamilton is about the only vice president so far to shoot someone while in office. That would be Aaron Burr, who shot Hamilton, the lead character in the show, and that is a historical fact. But Pence, you just. I mean, he looks tense. I'm not saying anything, but, you know, I'd say maybe meditation. Yeah. Well, sorry, it's a virtual parade. One parent saying, "That's my kid playing bugle." That is a Strike Up the Band. I think it was written by George Gershwin, if I've got that right. Anyway, we heard the Boston Pops this morning, a little bit of a virtual parade. And, wow, we have all kinds of American-related stuff here today, and I think we're going to have a second, if I can I can get the correct theme song. It's so important, you know, to position things. And let's see what we got here. Do we have it? Well, darn it. You know, the whole thing that's happening, I should mention that the unemployment rate went down yesterday. Unfortunately, it may not have included me unless I can figure out how to work these buttons here. Are you ready? Oh, I am. No. You know, it should be the three. It's the one stooge here. Are we going? Here we are. All right. Here we go.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport.
Even when there aren't any.
The thrill of victory.
Oh, yeah.
And the agony of defeat.
I'll watch it.
This is
the human drama of athletic competition.
Mm-hmm. In a bubble.
This is
Microphone Jones. There's no sports. Well, I mean, there really isn't, is there, MJ? We love a little sports. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah. Good morning.
Coming around. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So we're really scrambling to cover stuff. Today we have, I think this is an interesting topic. When we're talking about the Washington Redskins a little bit, you up on that? For folks that might not know any of this, the sports people have been debating for years and years and years these team names that were named after Indian American tribes or Indian Americans. And the big holdover is the Washington Redskins. And I think, is it FedEx Stadium is now the Washington Redskins Stadium? What's the deal on that? It's all about money, right?
Yeah, it's all about money. The Washington Redskins had to change their name because FedEx, Pepsi, and Nike, who I guess they're big sponsors.
Right.
And they threatened to take away their $632 billion away from them.
Wow. I got to get your phone better. It's not, I don't think it's you, it's me. It's FedEx, Nike, and Pepsi are the three partners there. And
yeah.
What is the sum of money involved there?
What did you say? I'm sorry.
What is this? How much money did you say is involved there?
$632 billion.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, so the deal is what now? The Washington Redskins have been an NFL franchise a long time. This is not the first time anybody said they ought to think about renaming the team. Then the three partners are in there. The owner, what's the owner's name? Dan something from the Redskins. What is his name? I'll come up with it. Anyway, he was reluctant to change the name of the team, but he's being pressured now. Is that what we're dealing with?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, he's definitely pressured. Nike already took all the Redskins apparel offline, so there won't be any more on there. They took it away.
Yeah, fix the phone. We got to fix the phones here better. All right, you're saying that Nike took the Redskins memorabilia off the shelves here. So, wow.
Yeah.
You know, geez, I don't know where to start with this. It's 20 after 9 here in Chicago, or it is 20 after the hour, depending on where you are. So, MJ, you know, I remember, talking about this a long, long time ago. To start with, the University of Illinois is the Illini, you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a thing, Chief Illiniwek. Remember Chief Illiniwek, who was this mascot?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of controversy about that, and I kind of got into the middle of it. I talked to a Native American about it, and he said, the word was, you know, this is a tribute to Indians, tribute to Native Americans. And I talked to this guy, and he said, well, hang on. For one thing, Chief Illiniwek is dressed as a Lakota Sioux, right, out there in Custer Land. It's really got nothing to do with this part of it. And I said to the guy, and I'm a Caucasian, as you may have noticed, I said, so what's the what is the issue? And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, how about if we have a team called the Washington White Boys? And I, okay, point taken. So anyway, since then, I mean, they have very few teams now that are, you know, in that category. But Washington is Washington's there. So, are they? They have candidates for a new name for that team?
Not yet. I didn't see anything about like a new name or anything.
Yeah.
My question is, me being a Chicago native and everything.
Yeah.
The Black Sox, the Blackhawks, going to be next?
Well, that's a really interesting question here. You know what? I hadn't thought of that. That's a great trivia answer. The only major league sports franchise named after an actual person is the Chicago Blackhawks. He was an Indian chief, a Native American chief, Blackhawk. Wow, I didn't think of that. That's a good one.
They better not change it.
Yeah, they better not change it.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on whether they win the Stanley Cup. I got another one for you. This is one. Okay, you and I both call it baseball. The Cleveland Indians. Now, the Cleveland Indians used to be called the Cleveland Spiders, of all things. But anyway, there was one member of that team was in fact a Native American. He was an Indian, as they used to say. So that's where that comes from. So in that case, it actually kind of was a tribute to Native Americans.
Yeah.
What about that? That get complicated?
I think they need to leave it alone.
Leave that one alone?
I think they need to leave. Honestly, they need to leave the Red Sox alone. I mean, not the Red Sox.
Redskins?
The Redskins alone. They need to leave the Blackhawks alone. They need to leave the Indians alone.
Yeah.
Certain things, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
I don't see it hurting anyone or what the real reason for it to be changed for. It's just leave it alone. It's a part of history.
Well,
the Redskins has been around since 1933, I believe.
Yeah. That's interesting. I don't know. I've heard a lot of people. For one thing, I'm not a huge football fan and not that big a Washington fan. I'll leave it there. You're one of the first people that I've talked to that feels that way, and that means that probably we should get more people to, there's certainly another side of this. So, anyway, yeah.
Other news, baseball is starting back up this month.
Yeah, 60 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starting on the 23rd.
How's that going to go, you think?
It's going to be fun, intense. Instead of the 162 games that they usually play, it's just going to be 60.
Yeah. They canceled minor league ball this week. You knew that. So I like the idea. We're going to have to see. It's going to be a little bit at a time here. The first games are going to be played without spectators. What are we doing there? What's the thought?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I definitely believe so.
And I was just going to speaking of minor league baseball. That was one of the. What is the deal now? You're going to start the inning with some guy on second base. Okay. I know. Yeah.
I guess to give the game more speed.
You know, it's funny, MJ. You and I probably. I don't know. We never talked about this, but a lot of people that you and I are both baseball fans. But when people criticize baseball, they say it's just too slow. And, I mean, I guess, I always thought it was kind of nice to sit back and sort of, look at everything, kind of savor it. But that may be one of the side effects of this is speeding up the game, yeah?
Yeah, definitely, 100%.
Do you, go ahead.
And then, we have basketball, too. Basketball about to start up real soon, too. I believe on the 30th of this month.
In Orlando.
Yeah, in Orlando.
I don't know. MJ, I don't know, man. I think Florida is in reverse here. I just read that story. I don't know. They have about the worst corona thing down there. We'll see. But, again, that was just they were going to kind of be in like an Olympic Village down there. So, again, if they can just keep the athletes safe, is that the idea?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do it and get some sports back on the team.
Yeah. I was also thinking, it's not just the players. I mean, there are a lot of, you got trainers, you got staff. It's not, there are a lot of, it's not just the players on the court or the field. So, anyway, we'll get there, I hope. How else are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain, just enjoying this nice weather.
I'm already perspiring.
Yeah. You have any plans for the weekend?
I'm going to stay indoors. No, I'm going to. I'm going to go out and work on the lawn, and see if we can get some maybe get thinking about a barbecue next year. So
next year,
yeah.
Gotta have one. Still got time this year.
Say again.
Still have time this year
to have a barbecue.
Of course.
By myself. Through I have the I'm the masked barbecuer.
Yeah,
it looks like it looks like I'm robbing Fat Willie's, you know. It's listen, I'll see you later, okay? Survive the weekend. I got a song for us. Believe it or not, this is called "This Land Is Your Land." See ya. This could get creepy, huh? I thought I'd do a little sort of virtual look at what might be happening. Some places. We'll coexist. All right, just bring it down a little bit in the back there. In some places this weekend, the usual festivities have gone virtual. Philadelphia is hosting 7 days of 4th of July events online, culminating tomorrow in a streamed concert and videos depicting historical reenactments. Sounds good. Governors and mayors across the country have urged residents to celebrate the 4th with caution, including by limiting the size of backyard barbecues. These people are not maintaining social distance behind me, but they should. The virus is just as contagious and deadly on a holiday as it is any other day, said North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. We have to remember that a large gathering, you know, does the damage. In New York, I remember this, ladies and gentlemen. I lived in New York City, and I remember this well. Well, this year in New York, the usual Macy's Incorporated fireworks show, get this, is taking place as 5-minute displays throughout the week in unannounced locations. It's what is that called, a flash mob? It's like flash mob fireworks because they don't want people to gather. So, wow. Let me hit that one again. The usual big Macy's fireworks show is taking place as little 5-minute displays throughout the week, have been this past week, and then the grand finale, that is on Saturday, will feature fireworks over the Empire State Building and a national broadcast with musical performances on NBC. We have a picture of the Empire State right in the building. Oh, boy. Yeah. Another Diet Pepsi in the back for the soprano. Would you want to know what President Trump is doing? No, I don't either. How about this, college students? As you go back to school, you Americans, they're warning that campus life will look dramatically different this fall. Temperature checks at academic buildings, masks in half-empty lecture halls, and maybe no football. And how about this? No professors. What? I thought about this, and I'm not surprised. Thousands of instructors at American colleges and universities have told administrators in recent days that they are unwilling to resume in-person classes because of the pandemic. Yeah, more than three-quarters of colleges and universities have decided students can return to campus this fall, but they face a growing faculty revolt. You know, I'm picturing this guy, Dana Ward, who is 70, he's an emeritus professor of political studies at Pitzer College, and that's in Claremont, California. I'm sorry, I'm reading ahead here. don't mean to laugh proactively. He says, until there's a vaccine, I'm not setting foot on campus. That's right. I don't blame him. You know what he teaches? He teaches a class in anarchist history. Oh, man. Dana, I'm with you. So he says going into the classroom is like playing Russian roulette. I think the upshot of all this stuff is we just simply have to figure out how to sort of hang on and just hang in place for a little while we figure it out. So we're going to do that. It's half past the hour. Wait a minute. Make it 29 before the hour. Let's do something in the history of the country. What about this thing, Hamilton? You know about Hamilton? Hamilton is, I'm reaching around here. Come on, if this were TV, you see, nobody on TV looks like they used to. Everybody's like the mic's across the room. They're wearing no makeup. Anyway, this is radio. This is a radio lockdown. Hamilton drops tomorrow. That means that for all of you, including me, who are wondering what the buzz is on this show, you can find out tomorrow. The movie is known to legions of obsessive fans by the hashtag, hashtag HamilFilm. HamilFilm. It's going to be the first opportunity for many to see the show that chronicles the Revolution era life and death of Alexander Hamilton, and who was the United States' first Treasury Secretary. You have a $10 bill, anyone? Yeah, all right, whip it out. That's Hamilton. The show won both the 2016 Pulitzer Prize in Drama and the Tony Award for Best New Musical. And it's the cast album has been on Billboard's 200 chart for 246 weeks. Should we see what we can get out of that one? This is called Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story from the cast of Hamilton.
Let me tell you what I wish I'd known when I was young and dreamed of glory. Have no control.
Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?
President Jefferson.
I'll give him this. His financial system is a work of genius. I couldn't undo it if I tried. And I tried.
Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?
President Madison.
He took our country from bankruptcy to prosperity. I hate to admit it, but he doesn't get enough credit for all the credit he gave us.
Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?
Every other founding father's story gets told. Every other founding father gets to grow old.
When you're gone, who remembers your name? Who keeps your flame?
Who tells your story?
Who tells your story?
Who tells your story?
Who tells your
story?
Eliza, I put myself back in the narrative. Stop wasting time on tears. I live another 50 years. It's not enough.
Eliza.
I interview every soldier who fought by your side.
She tells our story.
I try to make sense of your thousands of pages of writings. You really do write, but you're running out of time. I rely on Angelica. While she's alive, we tell your story. She is buried in Trinity Church near you. When I needed her most, she was right on time. But I'm still not through. I ask myself, what would you do if you had more time? The Lord in his kindness, he gives me what you always wanted. He gives me more time. I raise funds in D.C. for the Washington Monument.
She tells my story.
I speak out against slavery. You could have done so much more if you only had time. And when my time is up, have I done enough? Will they tell your story? Oh, can I show you what I'm proudest of? The first private orphanage in New York City.
The orphanage.
I helped raise hundreds of children. I get to see them growing
the
up.
Orphanage.
In their eyes I see you, Alexander.
That is the cast of Hamilton, the Broadway show that is dropping, as it were, today. Disney Channel has it for you. More about this show. Producers spent less than $10 million shooting the Broadway show. Then they sold it to Disney for roughly $75 million. Robert Iger was then Disney's chief executive. I was behind it, get this. This is really how show business actually works. He said that his children were big fans and that he had a few grandchildren who knew every word of this thing. Grandpa, can we buy that thing? So he did. Proceeds from the sale will be shared with the beneficiaries of the Broadway production, including the nonprofit Public Theater. So that's a good thing. So what was happening? See, they were going to do this. They had this Hamilton. We forgot, at least I do occasionally, that the coronavirus thing just happened. They were going to bring it out in 2021. They were right next year, but the coronavirus and everything—it just sort of this vortex. Disney does not have any plans to show it on the big screen, but the Hamilton team remains optimistic about that. So that's the deal. You can get it on the Disney Channel, which I do not subscribe to, and I'm going to figure that out. And the soundtrack is there for you. I'm gonna read this quick one. Leslie Odom Jr., who stars as Aaron Burr, said the casting was important because of the significance, quote, of who has the mic, who is allowed to tell the story, and what language the story is told in. He says, raising a young black girl, I can't tell you how difficult it is for me to find books and films and works of art that are not centered around white people and white beauty and white genius and white joy, said Odom. Ushering black and brown beauty into the world is still political, and it is still important because the examples are few and far between. That is Leslie Odom Jr. talking about the cultural significance of this. Let's hear him. This is called Your Obedient Servant, Leslie Odom Jr. and the rest of the cast from...
Not, I'm telling you, your wife.
From Hamilton. Here it is.
How does Hamilton, an arrogant immigrant, orphan, bastard, poor son, somehow endorse Thomas Jefferson, his enemy, a man he's despised since the beginning, just to keep me from winning? I want to be in the room where it happens, the room where it happens, the room where it happens. You've kept me from the room where it happens for the last time. Dear Alexander, I am slow to anger, but I toe the line. I reckon with the effects of your life on mine. I look back on where I failed, and in every place I checked, the only common thread has been your disrespect. Now you call me immoral, a dangerous disgrace. If you've got something to say, name a time and place. Face to face, I have the honor to be your obedient servant, A. Dot Burr.
Mr. Vice President, I am not the reason no one trusts you. No one knows what you believe. I will not equivocate on my opinion. I have always worn it on my sleeve. Even if I said what you think I said, you would need to cite a more specific grievance. Here's an itemized list of 30 years of disagreements.
Sweet Jesus.
Hey, I have not been shy. I am just a guy in the public eye, trying to do my best for our republic. I don't want to fight, but I won't apologize for doing what's right. I have the honor to be your obedient servant, A. Ham.
Careful how you proceed, good man. Intemperate indeed, good man. Answer for the accusations I lay at your feet, or prepare to bleed, good man.
Burr, your grievance is legitimate. I stand by what I said, every bit of it. You stand only for yourself. It's what you do. I can't apologize because it's true.
Then stand, Alexander. We hawkin' dawn. Guns.
Ron.
You're on.
I have the honor to be your obedient servant.
A dot ham.
A dot bird.
There we go. That's the cast of Hamilton. Leslie Odom Jr. and Lin-Manuel Miranda. Odom plays Burr, and Lin-Manuel Miranda plays Hamilton and the rest of the cast there. So, very interesting stuff. You know what? Tomorrow is the birthday of the country, and I just don't know how to deal with it, but I thought I would cover a couple of things here. We're going to read the Declaration of Independence a little bit in a moment or two, and I thought I'd kind of explain it to the birds, if we could. Birds, you there? Yeah? Birds? What happened, though? Must be taking a nap. You know, they probably went out to see the see if the Hamilton show is on TV yet. So we will talk about the Declaration of Independence, and I'm going to tell you, I just read this. I didn't rehearse this. Why we broke away from the Brits way back when. There are some remarkable things that the government of the UK and the Trumpsies have in common. I never realized that until I read this. So we're gonna get into that. And last but not least, I'm going to check on the Declaration. I saw it once. It's in Washington. It's in the National Archives. I'm going to call and see if it's still there. All that coming up. But first, you know what I enjoy?
Hey, Alexander, please.
Burr, I'd rather be divisive than indecisive. Trump the niceties.
Silence! A message from the king. A message from the king. A message from the king.
Time for the big parade. You ready?
There are moments that the words don't reach.
From another Broadway musical. I think we need to change that name to something that is not just New York centric. Anyway, it's a show. The Music Man. This was set in Iowa on the turn of the century. This is the big hit, 76 Trombones. The reason I was thinking of this today, it's sort of 4th of July, it's always about how things used to be. And the you know, the barbecues of our youth and the way things used to smell and taste and look and all that stuff. So I think this is going to be a nostalgia fourth here. That's not a bad movie to see. The 76 Trombones is the hit there. The Music Man. It's all about a high school band. Boy, I was in a high school band. The toughest thing was marching with that sheet music on your horn. The reason a lot of high school bands don't make Broadway cast albums. So, should we launch into the Declaration? You want me to? Anybody? The birds? Are you guys back there? Oh, yeah, they were run over by the sanitation people. All right. Quarter before the hour. Here we go. The United States Declaration of Independence is the thing that we are celebrating tomorrow. It was adopted by the Second Continental Congress, meeting in the Independence Hall in Philadelphia, which you can go to, by the way. When this is over, let's all just go, all right? Come on, who have listening to the show here? We can probably get everybody on a VW microbus and go. So we'll go to Philadelphia. It's a very small little place, Independence Hall. The Liberty Bell is there. And the Declaration explained why the 13 colonies at war with the Kingdom of Great Britain regarded themselves as 13 independent sovereign states. They read this on the 4th of July, 1776. And let me tell you something about this. I had to look this up just to make sure that we had everything going. And I think I'm going to, if I could, put some appropriate music, I think, behind us. Oh, there it is. Who wrote the Declaration? Actually, it was a committee of five people. Jefferson, everybody knows about Thomas Jefferson. John Adams was one of the writers. And don't forget, by the way, Abigail Adams, his wife, actually our virtual first lady, was very influential in telling people what's what. Abigail was her name. Benjamin Franklin was one of the writers. One of my favorite guys. He was the only president who was never president. You can get him on the $100 bill. And then Roger Sherman, who I never heard of, was the guy from Connecticut. Now, how about this? He was the only person to sign all four U.S. state papers. He signed the Continental Association, the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution. That's like winning, what is that? What is the, it's the Oscar, Emmy, Tony, Grammy? That's it, whatever that is, the signer. And then Robert Livingston also was there. He later negotiated the Louisiana Purchase. So then I looked to see who had signed it. Everybody knows John Hancock with the big signature. He was out there. Sure enough, they're gonna come and get anybody, they'll come and get me. So he signed it. But my favorite signature on the Declaration is a guy's named Button Gwinnett. Button. His first name was Button, B-U-T-T-O-N. So I have no further information on that, but I don't know. So, you want to hear it? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Now, we're certainly talking about all human beings at this point. That's what they meant, or they would have. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. What is an unalienable right? If we got nothing else out of this, I looked that up. It means something that nobody can take away. What are our rights? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. In other words, a government works for us. Are you with me so far? But again, I'm reading from a document that was written, 246 years ago? Let's see if you can sing along. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, as in dictatorship, it is the right. It's their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Am I getting warm? What did the King of England do that we were so PO'd about? He obstructed the administration of justice. He's made judges dependent on his will alone. He's erected a multitude of new offices. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. And he is affected to render the military independent and superior to the civil power. That's what this guy did. Trump. No, I mean King George. And finally, he has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. About that. Mm-hmm. Signed, Button Gwinnett. We'll be right back.
so funny thing. Am I still too young? He kissed the woman there. She took his ring, took his babies. It took him minutes, took her nowhere. Heaven knows she'd have taken enough pain.
All night.
She wants a young American.
It's up to you, you young Americans. Because the old folks blew it. Well, maybe. It is 6 before the hour here on Friday the 3rd before Saturday the 4th of July. Pandemic Pirate Radio Show. And I thought I would just take a second here. I was in Washington once and you can see the Declaration of Independence, the original. It's under glass, and they keep it in this inert gas. It's kind of weird. It's sort of a little bit sort of a greenish thing. Anyway, they do that, you know, to keep it from deteriorating. But you can see it, and it's pretty cool. So that's at the National Archives, and I just looked up the number here. I'm going to see if I can do this on the air. I'm not sure why I couldn't do it here. Should we try it here? Let's see here. Think. Say. Okay. All right. Here we go. Oh, yeah, already? I just got my hand on the darn thing here. This is why the Russians are beating us, because I cannot dial fast enough. All right. Should we try it one more time here? Let's do it. We're going to call the National Archives. This is in Washington, as you know. Let's see here. Oh, my goodness gracious. One more time. Boy, the phones are... Is it us? Is everything in Washington sort of screwed up now? Here we go. 866-272-6272. This is where the Declaration of Independence is, and I'm going to see how it is today.
Thank you for calling the National Archives.
Thank you.
We are committed to protecting the health and safety of our visitors, customers, and employees during the current pandemic. Mm-hmm. To that end, you may experience longer wait times than normal. Mm-hmm. Our museum and research facilities are closed to the public, and in-person services have been suspended almost entirely. Mm-hmm. We are making every effort to continue providing essential services whenever possible, mm-hmm. using online and remote capabilities. Mm-hmm. Please visit archives.gov for more information and to explore our web-based applications and services, or hold the line for additional options. Welcome to the National Archives and Records Administration. The following five options are offered to assist you in obtaining the information you desire.
Write these down, could you?
Our website, www.archives.gov, can assist with additional information needs.
I want to know if the declaration is okay. Anybody?
You can return to the
will somebody go back and just have a look? Come on. It's the thing with the big signature on the bottom. Anybody, please? See you Monday.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.